You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. So 2021 is officially here. Well, it's been here, but now we're into the second month of this new year, and there's still some 2020 economic baggage that accompanies our 2021. The federal government, they've been spending a lot of money, lots and lots of money, to protect the world's largest GDP. We're going to focus on some of that policy and how it affects Montana today with Montana's banker, Bill Coffey. And then a bit later on, too, Tracy McIntyre. She's with the Montana Cooperative Development Center, and they've got a detailed broadband initiative from MEDA that we'll talk about, and also a little focus on food distribution across the state of Montana. That is, we welcome you to a Monday here on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, a dark chocolate lover, Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much, Josh. How the heck are you guys? And for the record, I don't know if I'm a lover of dark chocolate. I'll certainly will not pass it up.
I don't think anyone truly loves dark chocolate.
There are those out there. Hope the Monday is going well. I hope you're prepared to just kick it all weekend. I hope you did kick it this weekend, but now it's Monday. Can't trust that day. Hey, you can't. Get to work, and it'll all work out, right? Hey, thanks again for being here. 22 years strong. That's two decades working on three. Voices of Montana. Objective perspective here. Part of your Montana mornings for that long. Man, we want to thank you for that, too. Today, economic focus. As a matter of fact, all week, we'll kind of be looking a little bit at our economy. Tomorrow, just to kind of tee it up a little bit, winter recreation is Jesse Woods going to join us. She's the operations manager at Blacktail Mountain Ski Resort. Want to kind of get a sense of this winter recreation economy, the impact of COVID-19 on that. And then also, Clyde Seeley is going to join us. And for those of you who might be aware, that name's going to ring a bell if you're into winter recreation, because he's sort of considered the father of the snowmobile industry in Montana. He's been doing that, initiated a lot of that in West Yellowstone. He now owns the Three Bear Lodge. This was like in the early 70s. Then he had to defend that in the turn of the century when there was a strong environmental push to remove all snowmobiles from Yellowstone National Park, and which would have killed that industry. Anyway, that's on. Dr. Barkey is going to join us. Pat Barkey, he's with the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. They have got the Economic Outlook Seminar Series going on today and tomorrow. You can go to their website. Just type in Bureau of Business and Economic Research, the BBERs, hosted at the University of Montana. And they run the numbers, okay? And they try to look ahead. And I'm sure as we welcome Montana's banker, Bill Coffey, president and CEO of Stockman Bank, I'm sure Bill's tied in to those reports and tied into BBER to find out, how actually Montana's economy is doing. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Hanging in there. I have no doubt that you're probably, and maybe Dr. Barkey had given you a call and said, here's what's in our report, but he's going to be on Wednesday. But that economic outlook for Montana, open-ended question, what's your take? I know there's some baggage from 2020, but what does 2021 look like, Bill?
Well, first of all, I think Dr. Barkey is a fantastic resource for Montana.
Yeah.
He did not call me, but I definitely listened to him literally on a quarterly basis. I think he's just a wonderful resource for our state to have. So exciting to hear that you have him on your program.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his, too, and all the folks there, as a matter of fact. And they really get into the weeds on things. And this BBER report, the Economic Outlook Series, I'm going to be catching it today online, and folks can do that as well. From your chair there, and I know Stockman Bank is Montana's largest agricultural institution, the eighth largest ag lender in the nation. I think we can start maybe with agriculture, because it's an up and down world. It always has been. But as there are a lot of ag folks in this neighborhood, they're taking their grain to market and getting pretty good prices for it. What do you see 2021?
Well, as usual, being in the ag industry and being in Montana, I'm optimistic. I think that there are some great things on the horizon. That's not to say that we don't have those same storm clouds, building down the road. But I think agriculture right now is in a good spot. It's not in a great spot, but I think we are getting some better prices on a lot of the commodities. We haven't seen the huge price increase of the inputs like we had for a while there. And really a lot of, I think, Montana family farmers were caught in the double pinch of the lower commodity prices and higher inputs. We're starting to dig out of some of that now. On a really bright side, our land prices. Now, it's tough if you're a young farmer trying to get into a family farm or trying to expand your farm. But really, for the most part, a lot of the farmers and ranchers across the state are using that equity to help advance their operation right now. So I'm going to say maybe overly brighter than it was, say, a year ago even.
Are there new opportunities out there? I know that we're looking at that meat processing expansion in the state of Montana. I know that people are looking, as I mentioned, kind of emptying their grain bins and looking to maybe fill them up again with the next hottest commodity. What do you think that might be?
You know, that's a good question. We see that rotation. Lentils and some of the different pulse crops were really hot for a while. I think a lot of things in agriculture, when they seem almost too good to be true, everybody starts jumping into them, and then they make that self-fulfilling prophecy that they are too good to be true. I know that some of the hemp was the same way for a while. The good thing about Montana agriculture is we can adapt. We have great farmers, great ranchers, great products here. The Montana name sells very well on a worldwide basis, and we're flexible, and we can adapt quickly.
Is there more upside to marketing? And I know Governor Greg Gianforte has talked about he's been a salesman. He will be Montana's best salesman. I think there's been a lot of focus, especially as folks come out of the educational institutions, about getting more value by marketing more correctly or targeted marketing. Is there still more of an upside to that angle of increasing the value for Montana's ag producers?
Well, Tom, I think you hit on the exact right point here. I think that value added for Montana goods and services, I think you're 100% right. That is what we need to focus on. And I know the governor, and particularly the lieutenant governor, definitely knows what that means for Montana. Christian Zuris is from a farm family. She knows agriculture front and backwards. And I think that having those value-added products is really where Montana is going to make the money going forward.
Let's talk a little bit. Bill Coffey is with us, president and CEO of Stockman Bank. He's also board member of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, that Helena branch. And they're just celebrating, as a matter of fact, 100 years today, recently reappointed to a second term. I don't want to get away from our economy, and I do want to talk about what the Fed Reserve does, and congratulations on that appointment. Let's look over Montana's other aspects to our economy. Recreation has been a big point. Now, obviously, there's the 2020 baggage from that with COVID-19 and the pandemic. That can spring back I guess, relatively quickly, or maybe it will take some time. What are those in that industry discussing with you, Bill?
Well, you know, we talked about the bright future of agriculture. I think the same is for Montana in general. Now, I think we're going to see some pockets that are going to be hurting. I know blocking the XL pipeline is really going to hurt a lot of the eastern Montana counties, not only the huge tax base, but a lot of the workers, both permanent and temporary. So there's going to be a few of those pockets. I think Montana recreation specifically is going to come back quickly. I think there are a lot of people that have saved their money or not had the travel and the recreation and the food and all the great things that we all spend our money on. We haven't really been able to do that collectively as a nation for almost a year now. And I think that pent-up demand is really going to springboard Montana's recreation. I mean, why wouldn't you want to come to Montana? We have the clean air, clean water. As the joke goes, we've been social distancing since 1889, those kinds of things. And I think it will strengthen throughout the year, and then early next year is just going to be fantastic for recreation in general in Montana.
And that's interesting, because there is a way of thinking out there that says just the opposite, that people are going to learn how to recreate a little more closer to home and a little less far away.
Well, my argument to that would be the Las Vegases of the world and some of those congested areas. You know, I don't know, but like New York City, I think the music scene and the Broadway shows, those could all be hit harder. It just seems to me that if you get in your family car and you drive through Yellowstone Park or you go rent a boat on Flathead Lake or Fort Peck or whatever, that there's really not much more of a cleaner or more wholesome way to recreate. It's not that you have to get on an airplane for the most part. You can drive to Montana from a lot of places throughout the country fairly easily. And, you know, we just don't have that congestion and that high density that a lot of these other places, I guess, at this point would suffer from.
Yeah. And I do agree in talking to guides and outfitters, and they obviously saw a drop in their business, but they're also encouraged by the hole being filled up right away. What's your take now on, you talked about land values, and obviously there's been discussion regarding it and a lot of articles written about an influx of people coming into Montana, whether they're going to be part-time or full-time residents remains to be seen. That has, there's some pros and cons to that, because providing for a smaller family, you know, and getting into home ownership is a huge step on long-term investment and long-term security. It's going to be more difficult for those families, isn't it?
Right. Well, and affordable housing was a problem in Montana and really across the nation before COVID, and I think that's only been exacerbated at this point. And so that is definitely an area that we're going to have to focus on as a state and as a country. But as far as the regular values go and the activity, I think it's really helped Montana. I know there were some retiring farmers and ranchers that wanted to get out, and this COVID definitely brought in additional buyers and held the prices up and really helped them. I think that when we've seen some of the recreation slips that you talked about earlier and those kinds of things, I think people moving here or even getting long-term VRBOs and those kinds of things really helped prop up Montana's economy, and in my opinion, will for the foreseeable future.
Is the stimulus, they passed one recently before the end of the year. They're looking at another very, very substantial package. You look at our unemployment rate, Bill, nationally, we're at 6.7, I think, percent. That's the same level it was in 2013 before we started nipping away at that. In Montana, we're under, I think we're at 4.4%, maybe 4.6%. Are we going to stimulate our economy, overstimulate it with government money?
I think that that possibility is fairly remote at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess as President Kashkari, president of the Minneapolis Fed, has said, that's a risk he's willing to take and others are willing to take, is that if this heats up a little faster and hotter. I don't think there's any signs of that, but that's a risk I guess we're all willing to take.
Understood. What's the, you know, in 30 seconds, what's the downfall of overstimulating the money with federal money or the economy?
Well, in the short term, it can be inflation, and I guess even longer term. My fear is that we're borrowing from our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you know, and their children, and just, you know, go on down the line there. And somebody's got to pay this back. I mean, we just keep adding trillions of dollars to the economy, and it certainly has helped us avoid short-term problems. My fear is who's going to pay the tab down the road.
Yeah, and that needs to be discussed more, because I don't think enough people are taking that real seriously. We're back with more here. Bill Coffey, President and CEO of Stockman Bank. I have to talk a little bit now about this reappointment to a second three-year term for Bill Coffey, Montana's banker. He is the President and CEO of Stockman Bank of Montana. I think, is it 35 locations, Bill? And maybe even you're losing count, huh? You guys are all over the place.
Well, we've really enjoyed the growth and serving more of our neighbors across the state.
Got your lobbies open too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have for about a month now. And I think that our customers and our employees all appreciate it. We're opening them up, having them safe, you know, doing all the precautions, the plexiglass, the mask, the sanitizer. Everything seems to be working very well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I know people do appreciate it. We can get used to being online, but when we're dealing with finances, we want to talk to somebody face-to-face. What about the Federal Reserve? Okay, you're going to serve a second three-year term. Thank you for that. What does this, and by the way, Helena branch celebrating their 100th anniversary today. That's pretty remarkable, I think.
It's very exciting. And it's worked well. The Federal Reserve System for the last 100 years has been fantastic for our country.
What do they do? What does the hell in a branch do? What does the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis rely on the good folks, including Bill Coffey over there at the hell in a branch?
Well, maybe a little history was, you know, to have handled the coin, the check processing, those kinds of things, the cash. All of that was the a real historical part of their function. They still serve some of that, but it's not nearly as important as it used to be, obviously, over the last 100 years. A big part of my role with the Helena branch is to go out and gather grassroots information about what the economy is. And there are five of us on that board, and from different walks of life, from different regional areas across Montana, different business and nonprofit interests. And we gather that information at the very lowest levels, right at the grassroots levels, and we take that information back to Helena and ultimately back to Minneapolis. And when President Kashkari is voting on the Open Market Committee and other economists are using that information really to set national policy. So it's exciting. It's fun to be one of Montana's representatives on that and taking that information back and trying to speak with as loud a voice as you can to make sure that Montana's heard.
Yeah, Kashkari, by the way, is one of the main speakers of this economic series from the BBER, and so he'll be presenting today. And he is a good advocate for I think, Montana and for all the folks in that Minneapolis district, which is North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and northwestern Wisconsin, as well as part of Michigan. What kind of things do they key on? What does the Fed Reserve look for when they're trying to figure out what might be next in line to help the economy?
Well, you know, it just depends. They have a question that we need to research and gather the information on, and it just depends. You can imagine that early on it was a lot of COVID. You know, they were talking about COVID and those kinds of things. Through the year they were talking about how it's affecting employment, those kinds of things. And so it's very fluid depending on what's going on in our economy. Or specifically what's going on in the 9th District.
What do they think about the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline? And I know from speaking with business people that when you're trying to create a plan for success, what you don't need is moving goalposts. And that has been the case with our energy sector for a long time. Any thoughts on that, Bill?
Not from a Federal Reserve standpoint, but just from what I've seen, being from eastern Montana and knowing a lot of people in that northeastern corner and those kinds of things, this is really going to hurt. As I mentioned, I think the tax base alone, those pipelines are worth a lot of money. Those facilities that the companies have, both on the subcontractors as well as the main company, that's literally tens of millions of dollars a year in taxes for our schools, for our counties, the cities, the services. And just that alone is huge, not to mention all of the employment. And again, that's short-term employment and it's long-term employment. It's really sad to see just from those small communities standpoint.
Like the long-term effect on that, and it's hard to get a handle on it. I would ask, and I know it's difficult on these counties because they don't have a huge cash reserve fund, so how can they hold out? I know that energy companies, they do have larger cash reserves, but they're also dealing with larger outlays. How long can they kind of wait this out before maybe there's a presidential exchange? That's not really good policy, but how long can they wait it out, Bill?
You know, that's a good question. I think that you're right on the shifting sands. It's hard to get people to invest when, okay, today we're on, tomorrow we're off, and the next day we're on. And, I mean, you're talking about billions of dollars. I really think the timing deal is going to be more based on Canada. You know, you hear the stories that they're just going to take those pipelines to the west coast of Canada, and then that way the Chinese are definitely the biggest benefactors here. Not only do they have a great product delivered even closer to their country, but that the United States can't get their hands on it to use, so there's really not as much competition for that oil. So China, I think, is going to be the huge benefactor of all of this.
Yeah, and I would just like to see that balance out, level out a little bit. Bill, I always appreciate your time. What are you guys doing for fun lately?
You know, I'm hoping to get up to the Flathead Valley and just enjoy the beautiful scenery and get out in the fresh air and do a little ice fishing. How about you?
Yeah, well, I'm just out walking just about every day, and I'm one of those guys who waited too long to be a winter recreationalist. Ice fishing is, it's in my brother's playbook big time, but it's not necessarily in mine. Good luck up there, Bill, okay?
Thank you. I'll need it.
Bill Coffey, as I say, Montana's banker. He's president and CEO of Stockland Bank. And again, just reappointed to a second three-year term as a board member of the Helena branch of the Minneapolis Fed, Federal Reserve, and that's 100 years old today. Congratulations to him.